You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
You know, I honestly did not want to sign up for this movie. I had no idea what it was about. I barely remember what it was called. But you all seem pretty gung-ho to be reviewing this thing. So I thought, you know, I'll help some family out. Why not? And so anyway, you all owe me one.
Well, thank you for taking the bullet for us, I guess.
Oh, no, you're totally welcome, because today's just been an amazing day anyways. anyway, yeah, we're talking about Fugitive Dreams, which is a very, very indie drama that played recently at Fantasia Fest, which I covered, which is, I'm astounded I missed this. Anyways, but it's, this is a road movie that takes place sometime, I don't know, you know, it's
wherever,
whenever. And it focuses on largely two people, Mary, played by April Mathis, and John, played by Robbie Tan. And, you know, she's a suicidal woman running from her past. He is a addict running from his past. And they sort of meet up and hop a train, meet some interesting characters. And
I don't know about interesting characters.
Well, they meet some characters. They're more interesting than anybody that I meet on my daily grind. So, and yeah, they essentially just learn how to deal with their issues, I guess, in a way. So what do you guys think of this?
It looks damn good. I'll give it that.
I would like to preface it. I do like this movie. I do. That said... I don't know who to quite recommend this to.
No, I agree with you. This actually kind of reminded me, because I hate like sort of categorizing things, but there's only so many ways you can do homeless people, you know, on the road. Like I kept on thinking of Ironweed when I was watching this. Yeah. You guys ever seen Ironweed?
I've never heard of it before.
Jack Nicholson and Meryl Streep play like homeless people in the Depression, and it's when she got one of her Oscar nominations. I don't know which one, but anyway, it's two people in the Depression that are homeless people. But that movie actually has Meryl Streep singing. This movie is, you know, it's very abstract. Like I feel like there are so many ideas that were trying to be presented here. You know, act from act, and
I feel like this movie, I'll get a little bit more out of it in some subsequent viewings, like beyond the initial one that I had, because I do feel like maybe there are some things I missed. I get what the movie is going for. It's this allegorical tale of issues, you know, just going all across America, you know. Addiction, mental illness, homelessness, and we got these two souls that are somehow bound together. You know, they find each other, and that to me is the strongest part of this movie, is the relationship between Mary and John. And I think April Mathis and Robbie Tan do a really damn good job of just portraying that. Why, like, this reluctant team?
I think you're right about that, because there is something that's always really compelling, at least for me, about watching damaged people interact with other damaged
that,
people.
Yeah, that they find each other.
And, like, try and, like... Yeah, exactly. And they try not to heal each other, but to just, you know, lean on each other. Because if a movie, if that kind of a movie does its job right, it doesn't try to solve
their problems. They're not trying. Yeah, they're not trying to be like, hey, I can fix you. They're just like, hey, I've been there, man. You want to do some shit? Sure.
Yeah.
That's rough. Yeah. Alex, what do you think? Oh my God, we didn't introduce ourselves, did we? Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm on it today. I'm Frank. With me is Alex.
Hi.
Jordan. And Luane.
You get spoiled having the titles at the bottom. You forget that you actually have to tell the people who aren't going to see the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, we're spoiled already. Yeah. Anyway, Alex, what do you think of this instant classic?
I thought that this movie had about as much focus as we've had for the last 15 minutes.
Oh!
I felt like it was aiming for so many different themes, but never really nailed down one that it wanted to give its full attention to.
It's a little painful when a movie has so much, or a filmmaker has so much that he wants to say or she wants to say, and whatever wavelength they're writing, they're on it, and they're in the zone, and they think that they are saying everything that they do want to express, and they think that they're doing it in a very, you know, credible and poetic way, but when that just isn't the reality, as is the case with this film, man, it just falls, and it feels really. You feel really lost. I felt really lost watching this. I don't know.
I feel like a lot of plays are ripe for adaptation to film, but I feel like sometimes when adapting a work, it seems like writers and directors get so caught up into going, well, since we're not limited to a stage, what can we do?
Because this is a play, wasn't it? This was originally a play?
Much to my surprise that we found out. And I just reviewed like another play adaptation recently with the boys in the band. And I feel like, okay, I would like to see that as a stage play, but I feel like I got so much more, you know, dynamic from just seeing the film version. With this, I'm like,
and you didn't even see the superior film version.
I'm just like, well, I could definitely see this as a play, like maybe off Broadway.
I was thinking about how this, because this is based on a play by Caridad Zvich. And brought to the screen by Jason Newlander. It's his film debut. And I can sort of see this being like, just like set on a train for the most part. Like, but one thing that did strike me is that this is, for all its flaws, it is very cinematic. I think that this has no problem shaking off its stage origins as far as, you know, I was concerned. Because if it's, you know, it feels more like a character piece than just something that's sort of stagey and just limiting to just one sort of like area.
It's definitely cinematic. It's probably the strongest thing aside from the performances, the leads, because it looks amazing, and they do some interesting things with it. I mean, it's primarily in black and white, but there are moments of color, or segments of color, or scenes with color that clearly represent different elements of the story. And I'm not sure, one of the things I ran into is trying to figure out, is it meant to mimic simply like dream logic, or is it meant to mimic like John's mental state, because he clearly is either an addict or mentally ill or potentially both of those things. And so his perspective keeps getting skewed throughout the story. So, okay, that looks cool and everything. And it was, again, the performances are strong. So you have these characters who run into each other by accident, and then they sort of travel along together and support each other, which clearly is not a thing they've experienced throughout the rest of their lives based on the sort of little pieces of flashbacks we get. But at the end, man, I just wanted to, like, mute it and play music over it and just look at it, because it looked great, But after a while, I'm like, I don't know what's going on, and I don't know that it matters if I hear what they're saying or not, because I still am missing something.
Yeah.
It did remind me of a few assignments I had seen when I was in film school. Hell, I think I did one of these sort of things when I had to, like, a cinematography assignment was like,
sure,
visualize a poem or something. And I was like,
oh,
well, gosh.
Yeah, I literally picked one that was just about souls and dead and just did all that shit in the graveyard.
The world building in this is so weird. I guess it's because we never really leave the perspective of John, right?
Or Mary.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
I feel like it trades between John and Mary.
No, it is mainly John.
Yeah,
we never really leave his perspective.
So we're sort of like held hostage to his sort of his addict sort of state of mind, and that's why we just can't tell reality from, I say, like, there's that one sequence when we run into this character named Henry, played by David Patrick Kelly, who's just sitting in the middle of the woods having a little picnic by himself, and who encounters John and instructs John to, you know, brutalize this mute woman named Providence, played by Olan Jones, who I love Olan Jones.
Me too.
I love her work in those Tim Burton movies she was in. In fact, she's acting like she's in a Tim Burton movie here. But it's that whole sequence is so bizarre, and it's not really, I don't know. I think it speaks to the main problem I have with this film, is that it's so abstract in a lot of ways. And almost like it feels it needs to be too abstract, so it couldn't be called, obvious.
At some points, I did find myself just saying, what the fuck is this? What does it mean? And I feel like I'm having the movie look at me and say, what do you think it means? And I was like, nah. You ain't doing... Yeah, you ain't doing this shit to me. You ain't doing this shit to me right now.
You're not a therapist.
Fuck off with that.
Did anyone else feel like Jason Newlander just really liked The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, I mean,
because we had poppy fields, they ran into a scarecrow.
Can we talk about stuff that what does everybody feel actually did work here?
Cinematography, more than anything else.
You're right. Yeah,
absolutely.
This is a very gorgeous film, as you know. Thank God the director was, like, wise enough to set a scene outside with snow falling, because it is probably the most gorgeous moment in this film, and the way it ends is really gorgeous, mainly because it's ending.
The cinematography is amazing, especially in black and white for me, but, you know, the way it uses color is very spectacular. I also really like the music. I thought that honestly helped a lot with my enjoyment of the movie, and primarily it is performances. And I gotta say, I did enjoy this movie. I just don't know who to really recommend it to, and I feel like I might like it better, or, you know, I'll get something a little bit more if I watch it again.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Alex, lead us into final thoughts.
Okay. This movie was very technically impressive, and had it been a little more fluid and focused, I really would have enjoyed it. But instead, I'm a little nonplussed. So I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 postcards from places that I'm not sure if I've been to.
Jordan?
Yeah, great acting. A mostly coherent story. With I'm being honest.
You're being generous.
Maybe I am. With some honestly really good acting, and, you know, some nice allegorical messages. Like I said, I enjoyed it for the most part. I think if I am able to watch it again, I'll maybe change my opinion. I'll have a deeper understanding, you know, instead of ooh, that's pretty, or, you know. I will say it is worth watching, but yeah, I'm not sure who I'm certainly not going to look at my fucking mom and dad and be like, ooh, you should see this. I'll be out of the will, I think.
It's a movie to watch on Thanksgiving night. Yeah, after
what
you
an
eat.
Endorsement.
I mean, I usually watch The Incredibles on Thanksgiving. This, not so much.
I watch The Muppet Christmas Carol, but that's just
yeah, that's good. I will give this right now 6.5 postcards from places I sure as hell wish I could visit.
Luane?
I'm going to echo Alex. Technically, this movie is great. Visuals are great. The cast is, particularly the leads, their performances are solid. They're believable, being whatever it is they are in any given moment in the movie. The music is interesting. I want to see the people involved in this movie make a movie with a story that is more accessible, right? I want them to take all of the great stuff that they're doing here, and there's a lot of it, and put it into something that it doesn't have to be mass appeal, but something that has a story or a narrative that the audience can follow and want to go along with, and you know, to take the best parts of this and put them into something that I could actually watch and enjoy, as opposed to something that I watch as a technical exercise and spend more time trying to figure out what the things in it are supposed to mean than to follow the story. I mean, you know, you have a character named Providence, you have a character named after an angel, you have all of these things, and I spent more time trying to figure out what is this supposed to be. Maybe it's not supposed to be anything, I don't know. So it'd be great to see all of this effort and all of this talent be put into something that I can say, oh, this is whatever the story is. It gets higher points than I normally would give it, probably because I'm so technically, I'm impressed with the technical quality. So for me, it'll be 3 out of 5 bright red poppies.
Yeah, so right now, during October, I decided to rewatch all of Night Gallery because I'm a huge Rod Serling fan. And I'm actually, yes, and I'm actually one of the rare lunatics that thinks that Night Gallery is better than Twilight Zone. But I'm like living in like the surrealist sort of.
You sure are.
Yeah. But yeah, so I thought, okay, this will be interesting, and it really, really wasn't, because it does play in this, it does venture into the surreal territory, but it doesn't really. It's got the same problem there in that area that it does everywhere else. It's just it doesn't really, you know, show us its hand when it needs to, and it really just relies on the technical beauty of this film, and this film is very beautiful. It's made my short list, actually, my long list rather, for best cinematography for the year, because it really is that stunning. The performances are really great. I didn't even mention Scott Shepard as I'm gonna butcher that character's name. Israfel, and I like Scott Shepard, and you know, I've always seen him like, oh, it's that guy, and here he's got like a very villainous role, and he knocks it out of the park. But those two elements alone don't make a great film. And I, like I said before, I think this film just wants to say a lot more. It thinks it's saying a lot more than it actually is. And it's one of those where you do need to surrender yourself at some point and say, look, I'm just going to take away whatever I'm going to take away. Whatever is meant to stick is going to stick. Unfortunately, not a lot stuck. It's got good intentions. The damaged people element is really great. But it's, yeah, ultimately, it's a great first attempt, and it'd be very interesting to see this on the stage where it originated. But overall, I got to give this 6 out of 10. Is that the, I think that's the sound that the Olan Jones character was making throughout.
I will admit that got on my nerves.
She had the best lines in the whole
film.
That
got on my nerves pretty fucking quick.
It was definitely unnerving, but it made more sense than anything that John said.